ISR coordinator for York University.
And this is my colleague. She'll introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Barb Kamenoff, and I'm a program coordinator at Seneca College in the Faculty of Continuing Education. And the YSR program actually falls under continuing education, and you'll hear more about that and how that works.
So what we're hoping to do today is give you a little bit more information about the program. I want to make sure that I kind of give you a background on the program, let you know about the requirements in order to come in. I'll talk a little bit about the application process. And then we will have a couple of guest speakers who are recent graduates from the program that will give you a sense of what their experiences were like and where they ended up now and how they kind of felt that they got there. And then, of course, we'll have an open question and answer period. So let's get started. So the YSR program is a one-of-a-kind program in Canada. It was founded in 1981, and it was essentially developed because we wanted a way to provide kind of hands-on training and education so that students could learn how to become rehabilitation professionals. It's a program that's offered jointly between Seneca College and York University. And the Seneca courses that are part of the program are actually offered here on campus at the Seneca at York U building, which is pictured over here on the side. So what do rehabilitation professionals do? Well, rehab professionals essentially are focused at assisting people who might have emotional difficulties, physical difficulties, cognitive difficulties, or developmental disabilities in basically functioning better. So learning how to gain more independent skills, learning how to sort of reach your optimum level of functioning, as well as overall just kind of focusing on improving the quality of life of individuals with some of these difficulties. So why should you consider doing the YSR program? There are a number of benefits. I think one of the first and major benefits is that you get to take the knowledge that you're acquiring as part of your Bachelor of Arts or Bachelor's of Science and apply it practically in the field. So you get an opportunity to get hands-on experience while still completing your bachelor's program. That's very unique, I think, for any university and college. You also gain the necessary training to join several different organizations that are targeted for rehabilitation specialists. So for example, one organization is the Vocational Rehabilitation Association, and through doing this program, you kind of meet all of the credentials and can join these associations, which can then help you gain employment and maintain sort of your employment and your continuing education. I think another major benefit is that you have an opportunity to work collaboratively with healthcare professionals as well as other vocational professionals in a real life setting. So it's an opportunity for you to kind of learn how those systems work, learn from other professionals, and gain some real life employment experience. And then finally, I think probably the most beneficial part of being part of the YSR and completing this program is that we have an extremely high rate of employment post-graduation. So approximately 90% of our graduates end up with employment in a related field, which is extremely high. So this is really an opportunity, I think, for you to take everything that you're learning from your bachelor's, get some applied experience, get some real life sort of experience, and then eventually end up employed once you graduate. So I'm gonna move things over to Barb. She's gonna talk to us about the program structure, and I'll jump in and talk about the York component.
Barb, which button do I push? I guess it's just the arrow, right?
Up or down? Should
the down?
The next one. Yeah.
It worked. Okay, so
There are two kind of points of entry. So number one, if you're doing a three-year degree, it would mean that you would be applying in your second year. If you're doing a four-year degree, you're going to apply in your third year. And then what will happen is your regular final year in your degree, depending upon whether that's your normal third year or your fourth year, will actually get split into 2 years. So that half of your course load is going to be with York and half of your course load is going to be with Seneca. So you still have a full load. For those of you that are on OSAP, they recognize this. We have forms. So again, it's not going to impact your OSAP because you're still going to have a full load. Okay. So you can see then again with your regular 3 year program, you're now going to be here for four. And then if you're doing the regular four-year program, you're now going to be here for five. Okay. So with the first year, what we do is, again, you've got your half load. So in your first year, you're going to do the three courses with York, and then it would be the equivalent of 2.5 at Seneca. In addition, you're going to do 400 hours of field work. The reason why I've got 2.5 there for Seneca is it used to be in your first year you did 2 in the fall and 2 in the winter semester. We've now switched that around because we wanted to lighten the load for your final semester with us, so we've moved one of the courses. So when you first start, and I hope it's going to be next fall, you'll do 2 courses, and then in the winter you're going to do 3. And then when you get into your second year, the fall, you will do 3. But then in the winter, you will do 2 because I recognize you have a fairly heavy load at York. So we wanted to lighten your Seneca load. Okay. In addition to that, you will also be doing field placement as well. So you will do 200 hours of field placement in the fall, 200 hours in the winter time for a total of 400 in addition. When you're working out your timetabling, and we will go into this when you do your information session, or sorry, an orientation in May, the scheduling of the courses are Monday nights and Wednesday nights, and again, just so it gives you an idea of what you're going to expect, and then most students keep their Thursday and Friday free, and then that's when they do their field placement. So that's kind of how your week would look from a Seneca perspective. So these are the courses, again, all laid out for year one and year two.
And so there's some required York courses as well. From the 200 level courses, we do require that you complete personality and motivation. From 300, abnormal psychology and health psychology is required. And then the 400 level, we have behavior modification and behavior therapy, and then counseling psychology. It's also important to note that students still have to complete other degree requirements. So as part of your bachelor's or your honors of bachelor's of psychology, there are a couple of courses that the undergrad office requires. And so, for example, critical thinking and psychology is one of them. You still have to do those, but these are the ones that are kind of required and mandatory for your YSR certificate. Okay, so let's talk about the application process. The application form is available on the York website. And essentially, the different sort of areas that we're going to look at are your academic background and your courses, the things that you've done so far. I would definitely encourage you to highlight your volunteer and work history experience in your application. What I would encourage you to do is particularly talk about volunteer or work-related experience that has a component of maybe either rehabilitation or working in teams or helping individuals and so forth. So if you can think about some of the experiences that you already have under your belt and think about some of these, the skills that maybe you developed from those experiences and highlight them in your application.
We'll also ask you to make a statement about your understanding of the rehabilitation field. So you will have a written statement. And then what happens on our end is we're going to review your transcripts because we do have access to those. You don't have to send in official transcripts to us. And then we will also require you to submit two reference letters. And these should be from individuals that know you well, or maybe that you've worked with or volunteered with. And we'd like for them to comment on your ability and suitability in the rehabilitation field. So they're basically going to be writing a reference letter, a reference report for you. And you'll want them, you know, to maybe comment on your professionalism, your maturity, your problem-solving skills, your reliability, those kinds of sort of good skills and good assets. And then we'll ask you to email applications to the YSR Program Administration. And so that email is right there for you. It will be posted again. I believe it's on the website as well as most of our pamphlets. Okay, so in order to enter the program, or to complete the program, you must have completed 60 credits or 10 full year courses, including the Psych 1010, towards your Bachelor of Arts or Bachelor of Science degree. Or if you're in the honors stream, you need to have completed 90 credits or 15 full year courses, including Psych 1010, towards your honors Bachelor or Bachelor of Science, Bachelor of Arts or Bachelor of Science degree. So that's just a little preview of what the program looks like, what the application process is like. What we'd like to do now is invite our field placement coordinator, Diana Yanakola. I'm sorry if I pronounced that right. Is she here?
No.
Oh.
She's running late.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to be Diana.
Okay, cool. So Barb will go over the field placements and sort of what they look like.
And bear with me, because I'm not an expert in this area. But anyway, Diana is on her way. We got a text, but she's not here yet. So I was going to
step in
and I'll do the best I can. Okay. Yeah. So as I mentioned before, at the end of the program, you will have 800 hours of field placement in. And in your first year, we like you to do two different placements. So you would you start working with Diana in the summertime to get your placement secured over the summer. So when September comes around, you can hit the road running and you're already there doing your placement. And then you would continue to work to find another one so that in January, you're going to start your second one. The reason why we ask you to do that is because we want you to be exposed to a lot of different areas and scenarios. You have different populations, you have the different disabilities, and by doing your placement at different agencies, it gives you an opportunity to be exposed to all kinds of different things that maybe you hadn't been before. We find that a lot of students will come into the program and they have the idea of, oh, I only want to work with kids. And then they get out there, and at the end of the program, they go, oh, wow, seniors are amazing. I never realized how enriching it is for me as an individual to work with seniors. And then that's the way that they go. So that's one of the reasons why we want to make sure that you get that broad exposure. In your second year, you'll do one. If you want to do two, you can. But many students will do it at one place, and they like that continuity of being in the same location for the whole year. And this is building on what Magda had told you before, when you're doing your placement, we want to make sure that you are exposed to the all the different areas, be it physical, emotional, or cognitive. There is also another matrix that Diana has, and we want to make sure that you are exposed to all of those different areas too. Again, it's that broadening, that learning, the exposure that you need. This will be part of the areas. Again, bear with me as I go through this. So you're going to be exposed to case management, assessment, counseling, the individual and group planning, vocational placement, and then also general work performance. What have we got here? Okay, so what will happen is you will meet with us in May. That's when Diana will go into a lot of detail about your homework that you need to do over the summertime. We'll tell you exactly what you need to do in order to get a placement secured. And we will provide you with, I call it a warm lift. So it's going to be a list of agencies that we already have an affiliation with. They are familiar with our program, familiar with our students and what they need. So it's not like you're going to be knocking on doors doing cold calling. So you will go through that list and it will, you pick out places that you think that you might be interested in going to and then contact them to try to set up that placement for yourself. And again, there's lots of diversity depending upon where you want to be. And we again try to get students to do their scheduling for Thursday and Friday to do their placement hours. So again, you'll know that and for your planning for when your courses are going to be at the front half of the week and your placement is going to be at the back half. Okay. All right. So now we're going to hear from our first guest speaker, and that's Martine. Martine actually is an instructor and a grad, and she has been working in the working in the industry forever. She's going to tell you about that.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. So as Barb introduced, my name is Martine, and I graduated 25 years ago. And I know I look young, but it's been just an incredible journey, from giving me a platform, a foundation in the studies that I had and the community that was developed with fellow graduates, of the YSR program. I was able to really launch my career. And I can say that from the day I graduated to current, until present, I have never been without a job in the field. And by the field, it's quite expansive. So rehabilitation in and of itself, it's an expansive term, right? In essence, it's about either directly or indirectly facilitating someone's return to function. And we are helpers and facilitators of that process. So you might, you know, go on and complement your degree and certificate with the York Seneca Rehab Program and go on and do occupational therapy or one of the other allied professions. You might become a counselor. You might become a therapist. I've seen it all. I've been teaching in the program now for 12 years. And I've had the pleasure of seeing students go from, you know, doing really well with what they're getting coming out of this program and then just building on that through continuing education, you know, joining their respective professional associations. And we have a few that you can join graduating from this program as associate members. For example, you've got the Vocational Rehab Association of Canada, or you can work towards becoming a Canadian Certified Disability Management Professional. So they're recognized professions. What this gives you, again, is that foundation to launch from and that community. What I love about the community is, I'll give you an example. So right now I'm a VP, Vice President of a rehabilitation company. So we do private rehab in the sense that we're paid by employers, insurers, the WSIB, Province of Ontario for their programs. Those are just a few of the clients that we work with. And then we work with major banks and a lot of different employers in facilitating stay at work, accommodations, helping people be able to function and optimize their ability to be well and stay at work, which is really important and part of the spectrum of rehabilitation, or return to work if they've been away from work. So that's what I do right now. I'm in a position as a VP, and I've worked really hard to get here. And when I say I've worked really hard to get here, I know like this program, it's not for the faint of heart. So you work hard, you're doing a degree, and you're doing a certificate with Seneca, and you're doing placement hours, and probably if you're like me, you probably have to have a part-time job of some kind. That's what I did. I worked hard, but I came out with the high work ethic, which my employers recognize, and from my placements, I immediately had a job. So I graduated into a job, and like I said, today to present, I've never been without a job in the industry. And what's fascinating to me is, for example, beautiful Sanzana sitting over there, who was at one time a student in the program, student of mine, became a placement student at the organization I was then working for as a director, has now, you know, she's surpassed my level of study. She's, I think, done master's and her PhD. Just a brilliant career. And it's just so incredible to me when I'm out there speaking at conferences and running into so many XYSR graduates who are in really great positions, doing really great things, raising the bar. Really, we've been talking about mental health in the workplace and what that means in terms of return to function for a long time because we're psychology graduates. And when I started out, there was a lot of people with a lot of different backgrounds that were doing the work of rehabilitation and case management that really didn't have that foundation at all. They had landed into this job somehow with all kinds of different backgrounds. But know that you're entering, if you come into this program, a community of professionals that are really doing well in the industries. I started off working frontline mental health. So it's expansive. You don't have to get into insurance. You can go work for employers, helping them accommodate their employees directly. You can go work for the WSIB, which is the Worker Safety and Insurance Board. You can work for the government. There's CPP, Canadian Pension Plan for Disability. You could, you know, go, there's just so many options. Or you could work frontline, community level. And that's how I started with Progress Place, which is a mental health facility. Well, it's a psychosocial rehab program, and it helped people who had chronic persistent mental health issues in rehabilitating and living optimally within their abilities in their community. So my career has been expansive, and by that I mean that, you know, what you make out of your trajectory with this program is really up to you, and the placements are invaluable. It gives you an opportunity to connect with people, to really have that one-on-one and understand. So what you have and the advantage of this program over somebody graduating with just their degrees, I can't even, it's so exponential. And so I hope to see some of you in September, which is, you know, when I teach, and I wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you, Marcia.
You're welcome.
Our next guest, I felt like the next contestant, is Sanzana.
Good morning, everyone. You guys are awfully quiet today, but I hope it's because you guys are listening and not sleeping. You know, I'll just start off a little bit by telling about myself and telling you why I'm here today. So I am, as Martine mentioned, a few years ago I graduated from the YSR program. And my story is not very different from Martine's. You know, from this program I've gained so much that when I came out of school, I had my first job already. In fact, I started working a month before I actually got my undergrad degree because the placement that I was doing at Martine's organization at that time, which was a claimability management, offered me a position because, you know, they did recognize that YSR graduates are very, very, you know, well-versed within the field. We come out with a lot of great skills, also soft skills like time management, being a professional, having a strong work ethics, which, you know, being just an undergraduate student doesn't necessarily teach you, but being in a very vigorous program like this joint program with York and Seneca, it really teaches you on, you know, on how to do that at a personal level, and then you can expand it on in your professional setting as well. So any organization that I did my placement with, they really, really valued us as, you know, YSR graduates, as really experts within our field. So, you know, I was lucky enough to land a job right before graduating, And like Martine, you know, my journey hasn't been that long, but ever since then, I haven't been out of a job. And in fact, I've been progressing in my field. So each job that I've landed ever since was a step forward. It hasn't been lateral, it's just been progressive, which I think is very, very important, especially for us as, you know, a new generation getting into the workforce. We want that quick move up. We want to secure that job that, you know, will help us sort of build our life around and on to. So, you know, there is a lot to invest within this program, but what you get in return is also equally as valuable. Currently, I'm actually still a student. I'm doing my PhD at McMaster right now. After the program, I decided that, yes, I want to work. Yes, I want to build my professional resume. But at the same time, I do have a passion and curiosity for learning. So I wanted to continue my studies. And this is, again, another great part about this program, because the YSR program doesn't only equip you to be a professional, but it gives you the tools on how to be a graduate level student, which is very different than what you experience as an undergrad student. Because graduate level education is self-directed, it is something that you really conceptualize in your mind and you work with profs to make sure that you're learning what you want to learn. And to be able to be that independent, to have that motivation, and to move forward every day, although you don't have a prof saying, hey, your assignment is due in a week, or, you know, having those deadlines to meet, you set your own deadlines, it really helped me prep to be a grad student. And, you know, I completed my master's while I was working for Martine, and then I transferred and I worked for York University for a while, and I still continue to do my master's. So it really preps you to be a lifelong student, because you're in that mindset by, you know, doing all these courses at York, all these courses at Seneca, doing your placement. You really become that individual where you want to, you know, continue learning, continue growing, continue working. And I feel like that's the gift that this YSR program has given me, beyond, you know, yes, the certificate, yes, my degrees, but it's really grown me as an individual. It's matured me. It taught me what it means to, you know, live in the real world and work hard to gain, you know, everything that you want. So I think that was really a blessing in disguise. When I was sitting here, actually, several years ago, in your seats, why I chose this program was because it gave me option. It gave me choices. It gave me the option of becoming a professional right away. It gave me the option of learning a little bit more beyond psychology, learning about a holistic approach of a human, learning about, you know, what are all the well-being points of being human, which, yes, mental health is a big component, but so are other components, such as our social well-being, our physical well-being. And what YSR program does is brings all those aspects together and makes you look at a person from a holistic perspective. So I wanted those options. I wanted those choices because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, to be completely frank. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go to grad school right away. I wasn't sure if, you know, this field was the right field for me. So when I saw that there are placement options, right away I was like, okay, I can probably do a couple of placements and figure out what I enjoy doing the most, or what population I enjoy working with the most. And that's exactly what I did within the program. First year, I was kind of experimental with my placements. Second year, I narrowed it down into something that I already knew I was enjoying to make sure that I solidified that experience to turn it into my future career, which is what I'm doing now. From rehab, I narrowed down my career into disability management. So I am a certified disability management professional working right now at Scotiabank as manager of the workplace accommodation department. And, you know, I've gained so much knowledge and so many connections within the field. So that's another point that I want to bring forward. This program is a small program. You will be studying with a cohort of your students. It's approximately anywhere between 25 and 30 students per cohort that we get. And that group of people will be your support system for the next 2 years and beyond. I still have friends from the program. I still have mentors like Martine from the program that I hold on closely to, because these are the support system. These are your networks. These are the people who will help you when you run into an issue about, oh, I need to find a new job, or I need some guidance and advice on what I should be doing next in my career or in my field. So you really create a strong sense of network, which is very, very important when you step into the real world. These are the people who's going to make sure that your growth is in the direction that you want it to be. And so you don't feel lost. You don't feel like, oh, I don't have people I can talk to or I can relate to or that can teach me and I can learn from. You really have those people around you, and that's really, really beneficial. So I did a full 360. I came back to teach at the YSR program now. This was my second year teaching, and I really, really enjoy it because I get to really connect with the student. I was one of you guys, you know, just a few years back. So I know, you know, the different things that you guys are looking for. And it really helps me to give back to a program that gave me so much. So I'm really, really passionate about this program. I'm a genuine, advocate for this program. I'll stick around after if you guys have any question from a student level, from what to do after this program, or really what the experience was being in YSR. I'd be happy to answer any questions, okay? Thank you so much.
Okay, we got one more. And he's here. So Z is a recent grad. It was when, 2 years ago?
Yeah. October 2018.
Not that you're counting.
Yeah. All right, hello guys. Yes, I am a recent graduate of the York Seneca Rehab Program. But before, we've been talking about it and why is it so beneficial, but I want to look at it from an investment perspective. We're all investing time, thousands of dollars in our education and university, and what is the assurability that we're actually going to participate in a job that we're going to work? So I kind of think of this program kind of like an investment protection program where you're guaranteed, not really guaranteed, but you're guaranteed a foot in the door with employers. You're guaranteed to be taught by a vocational rehab specialist like Martine. Once my teacher and we work together, it's kind of weird, it's kind of cool. So so you get to actually protect your investment, which is your time. So many time is invested in participating in university, teaching, TAing, just studying and stuff like that. So much thousands of dollars are invested into this program, and I feel like with this program, you can actually protect your investment and ensure that you're actually able to work in a field where you actually spent 4 or 5 years studying and actually understand. As a recent grad, I currently work as a claims case manager for a long-term disability insurance company. I can actually see the difference between my education and claims case manager who's been there for years. They have more of a tactical, hands-on experience, and mine is more theory-based with tactical. So I kind of have an advantage right away. You kind of just stick out because you are so well-versed. You have a holistic approach of rehab, which is really one of the fundamental things they teach you in rehabilitation, is a holistic approach where you can't just look at the medical. You have to look at all psychosocial aspects of rehabilitation, and it really becomes part of your core DNA. And one thing that you're going, if you participate becoming part of the program, you kind of understand the difference between what is rehabilitation and what is habilitation. And you really understand the difference between disability and impairment. So I really vouch for this program. I don't want to be redundant and say how great this program is, because this program is great, but I can give you a little brief history of my education experience. So I recently graduated in October 2018. I was actually hired 6 months before I graduated. My last placement, I was actually working with my team at AGS Rehab, and I currently got hired in February 2018 as a claim case manager, and I've been working there currently. I always wanted to continue education. Master's is something I want to do, but I'm actually getting my employer right now to pay for my certified disability management professional and hopefully get them to pay for my master's. So I know anybody wants to go to master's after university? Anybody just wants to go into the workforce? And anybody just going with the flow? Yeah, that was me. I'm just going with the flow. So this is an opportunity. This is a door. Use it. I didn't learn about this program through this. I actually learned about it through a professor who just sent a broadcast email about what is rehabilitation, and I found it so interesting, and it's just a full circle moment that I'm actually here to encourage you guys to participate and probably apply for this program. If you guys have any questions, I'll be right here. So thank you.
Okay, so one more speaker.
All right, and then we'll go into our Q&A. So Diana is here. Diana is the field placement coordinator. She was running the stuff in traffic, but she's here, so she's just going to say a few words.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming out this morning. Just in case you didn't hear about it, this is a really great program. as you can tell by our colleagues here, the experiences that they have in the placement translates into real life experiences. And the great thing that we hear over and over again by the students when evaluation time comes along is that they're amazed at how they're able to see how the academic experience translates into real life skills when they're in the workplace. So I just want to give you a little idea of what a typical placement would be like. So over the course of the 2 years of the program, you'd be looking at about 3 or 4 placement experiences. So let's say, for example, if you are at a case management placement, the skills that you take from there will also translate into skills that you can use in real, what do we call, day programs, where you're also working with clients one-on-one, helping them develop their life skills. Things like cooking, things like learning to do banking, learning to take the bus, things that we sort of take for granted, but these are the clients that we're working with. One of our students, at one of his placements, it was a day program. However, it was a men's program. The great thing about the program, as my colleagues have said, is there's so much opportunity that you can create an opportunity for yourself. One example I want to give to you is one of the student that was in a male day program. He was working with the client segment that was they were released on probation, and he helped them develop exercise programs. This is a life skill that it helped them develop a daily routine. When you have an idea and you want to bring it into the workplace, these placements allow you the opportunity to do that. What you're doing is bringing that experience of the academic side and the real life side. So that's just to give you an idea. So there's also placements at agencies such as Schizophrenia Association, Alzheimer's, if you enjoy working with the elderly, the young, with the autism places. I feel like I'm rambling here. They really did cover everything that I really wanted to say. Let me think. One of the things that the supervisors do say is that they're very impressed with the quality of students that we send out into the workplaces. They're prepared and they're eager. And what they're doing is they're building bridges for the clientele that they're working with. Really, I can't think of anything else to say. I just want to leave you with just a little bit of food for thought about rehabilitationists. So as rehabilitationists, we are bridge builders. We're building bridges to pave new pathways for people with a variety of disabilities, whether they're congenital or acquired. People with physical, psychological, and developmental disabilities, they face obstacles that isolate them and their families. The professional rehabilitationist is prepared to provide support for this vulnerable society, for this vulnerable population, helping them to gain and restore quality of life in different areas of their lives. We help them to aspire to enjoy a full, productive, and a rewarding life. The rehabilitation journey may take meandering side roads, but as the rehabilitation professional, we encourage that journey, and we offer exploration of both conventional and non-conventional thinking that bring about the strengths of the people to reach their potential achievements. Our role is to face that bridge building and to honor the population of people with disabilities with dignity that they deserve. And really, I leave you with that.
Okay.
All right. What to remember. We've got a little timeline. Number one, applications are due on March 20th, and they submit them electronic, yeah?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Then Magda and I will go through them. We will put out offers in the middle of April. Mm-hmm. Hopefully everybody that gets an offer will accept. And then we have our mandatory orientation, and that usually happens in the first week in May. And again, it'll be Diana, Magda, and myself that will be at that, and then we'll get you set up so that you know what homework you need to do through the summer so that you can hit the ground running come September. These are the contacts. So that's me at the top, and then Annie is my my program assistant at Seneca.
And then there's my contact information, and we do also have some administrative support upstairs in the undergrad office. So that's at 291 BSB. There's the email there, and there's also a phone number. So I hope you guys have enjoyed our sort of summary of this program. It's always amazing to hear our guest speakers. They really are able to give you the real kind of experience of what it's like to be in YSR. What we want to do for the remainder of the time is answer any questions that you may have. We're going to call up a couple of individual people to help us, including some people from the undergrad office. Valerie, what are you? So the floor is open. If you guys have questions, feel free.
Is there a certain average that you should have, for example?
So your GPA is important, but we don't have a necessary criteria for cutoff. So the way that we're going to look at it is we'll look at your GPA, make sure that you've completed the courses that are required, and then we're also going to look at your written statement and your reference letters all together.
Yeah. And the only thing is that you cannot be an academic.
Yeah, so if you're on academic warning or academic probation, then you would not be eligible. But there's not a particular GPA that we're looking for that we say this is, you know, what you should be striving for. Yeah.
How many people do you let into the program a year?
Approximately 25 to 30 individuals a year, but it is flexible. Is that wrong?
Yeah, we all cap it at 35.
Sorry again.
So how many applicants do you get a year?
It ranges.
It ranges, like, and then again, not everybody qualifies, so we don't put out acceptances to everybody. Usually, we'll put out more than we can handle because sometimes there'll be people that will, life changes, and they don't enter into the program in the fall. So. Mm-hmm.
Or they apply to multiple different programs or change them. I feel like you can answer that question.
Yeah, definitely, because that's why the previous slide that talked about was if you're in the BA or BSc, that would mean that you're in the 9E credit degree program. Or if you're in the Honors 120, then you apply when you have the potential of 90 credits by that summer, right? So if you're in the 90 credit, but you must have 60 credits completed by the summer that you apply. So basically, you'll have 30 credits remaining in towards your degree, whichever program you're in.
So I'm like in third year right now, mm-hmm. So next year would I still be looking at
college? Are you in the honors program?
I'm in the fourth year.
So your third year, you have what, 54 credits?
Yes.
You'll be applying next year.
You can
apply
this year.
You have, but she's third year.
Right.
Yeah, so 90 credits, if you're in the honors program, you're fourth year. How many credits do you have?
Sure.
We can talk after.
Okay, yeah.
I can check if we can go upstairs and I'll check for you.
And to pick up on that same, And to pick up on that same vein, and if you're graduating this April, are you still able to apply to this program or some sort of other alternative that offers comparative?
Yeah.
Mark, are you in your... Is it the 3 year or the 4 year that
four.
You're...
Four.
Okay, so you're grading
like
from the four?
April,
okay.
I'm about to.
Okay, so for those of you that are graduating in April,
be it third year or fourth year, there is an alternative that you can go into at Seneca. It's called Seneca Rehab. The learning is the same, different name, different mode of delivery. So when you finish that program, from an industry perspective, you'll have exactly the same as YSR. The main difference is no placement. The program is offered through continuing education. It's a distance learning. And you don't actually have to apply to the program because you're coming in as an adult, you decide that you want to take it, and then you register on a course-by-course basis.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the point of this particular program the placement?
It doesn't, because most people who are doing a continuing education program are already working full-time during the day, and they wouldn't have the time to do a placement, which is why it's not a requirement within the program. However, if those of you that want to do a placement that are in that program, if they want to do volunteer work, we would absolutely support that as well. But again, it would be the same as if you're in the YSR. You would still be responsible for finding your own. So it wouldn't be a requirement of the program. That would be something that you would decide as an individual that you would want to do on the side.
And the difference between me just doing a volunteer without this program and me?
It's still going to benefit you because you can still put it on your resume.
And that's, I think it's also important to know that you'll get the theoretical foundational knowledge that would prepare you to work in this field. And I think that's sort of with this continuing education component, say you graduated, you already have your bachelor's, doing that would give you sort of the knowledge and the foundational knowledge that you would need to apply into this industry. And then, of course, you could do a placement in there as well. Does that answer your question?
But also the difference between the placements within the program and, you know, volunteer work outside of the program is that even the placements are directed learning. So there are criterias, like, you know, there are midpoint evaluations and evaluations. The organization that you will be doing your placement for will have to rate you. So there is a grade associated with that placement as well. So you have to perform well, whereas in a volunteer setting, those aspects of learning and direction and goals are not necessarily there. So that would be the main difference in you volunteering versus you doing a placement within this program.
But you know, there are graduates working with organizations that might be open to offering placements, so reach out, I think.
We've got students that have missed out on the YSR opportunity that have gone into the Seneca Rehab. We've had Diana be in contact with them, and we have provided the warm list that I had mentioned before, that agency list, so that those that are motivated to get those placement hours are still going out in and doing them. But as I say, the majority of the students that are in the Seneca Rehab are already working full-time during the day. They don't have the time to do that. See, you wanted to
I have a question. In regards to the Seneca Rehab, it's a three-year program, correct?
It depends upon how many courses that they do semester as to how long.
So, in regards to my placement, one of my other friends or colleagues was doing the rehab aspect of it as well. Like, I think hers was a 3 years, and she was working full time, and she was doing her placement there as well.
Just the other thing to add on to that, as Sensen said, there's a lot of placements that a lot of agencies will offer. Volunteer opportunities, but don't necessarily offer placement opportunities. The difference is because of the fact that there has to be some level of supervision in a placement opportunity, and that means HR hours from the agency that they have to set aside. There's a lot that are more open to volunteer opportunities over the placement agencies. That's why we provide a warm list for placement agencies, because they already are familiar with the process that we require for the students to fulfill their fieldwork placement course requirement.
Okay. Other questions back there?
So I'm an honors. I know that you have to have 90 credits, but because of this training the first year, now I would have to take still 4 courses in the summer to be at 90, so can I still apply if I can go? experience, even if you think you're still
yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two questions. First, I'm interested in addiction therapy and like drug rehab and all. Mm-hmm. So is that something that this program can provide me?
Do we have people working on addictions?
We do focus briefly on the topic of addiction and rehab and counseling. It's not specific to drug addiction rehab. However, those are transferable skills that you can take on to build on a career in addiction rehab.
Secondly, I just wanted to ask, I'm doing an honors degree,
mm-hmm.
so that encompasses like 120 credits with York for me.
Mm-hmm.
So can the fifth year with the YSR be considered like 30 additional credits or like
it doesn't equate to OSAS?
No, just to kind of get a guess of like whether it's like doing another year off of that undergrad.
It would add an additional year to your studies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you'll be doing the two years at Seneca.
So I'm still doing 120 credits and
still
then
120.
Yeah. So basically you're doing two things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of your 5 years, you're gonna have a degree and a college certificate.
Mm-hmm. So will that split my 30 credits from my last year into like 15?
Yeah. You have more time now. You can do summer. For example, the counseling course, site 4060, a lot of some students do split it in the summer, do the 4061 and 4062 option. So just let me know that, you know, that's an optional stuff. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there any booklet that we can look at the information?
All the PowerPoint are going to be put up on the website, on the York site, and there is information there as well. But if you have questions, email one of us and
mm-hmm.
we can answer them.
And the way to find this on our webpage, the first tab that you go to, undergraduate program, scroll down and look to certificate programs, and that's where it will be uploaded so that you can, you know, review this again.
Yeah.
We'll
start there. Okay. So, need to reference
letters and forms, or just ones? Do you need the letters as well?
Okay. So, sorry, the referee form is the letter.
Okay, so no extra letter, just like the form. Yeah, so that person would essentially be writing a reference letter for you in a referee form.
Okay.
There are specific things that we can look
could
for.
They be from the same volunteer or workplace with like two different people, or does it have to be two different workplaces or two different volunteers?
There aren't any necessary requirements. If you have the option to ask for references from two different organizations, that can show some breadth and they can talk about slightly different things. If that's not an option for you, then you can get two people from the same organization, as long as they could potentially comment on slightly different aspects, like their interactions with you might be slightly different. I know you've had your hand up there.
Are there students that went to this program and then went to speech therapy for the master's?
She's actually, she did her master's degree in Queens for speech pathology.
And she did this.
Yeah. And a lot of three or four of my other friends are doing their master's in occupational therapy as well.
I was just going to bring up OT. Because, so I was trained as a clinical psychologist, and I used to work in a rehabilitation hospital as part of my training in these bigger teams with OT and speech language and vocational therapy and so forth. And those programs are really challenging to get into. If you can get some hands-on experience, gain some foundational knowledge and skills at the undergrad level, you're going to be that much more competitive going to OT, SLP, and other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it possible to fast track, like do some of the courses in the summer, or is it all
I don't know if we offer.
Not from a Seneca perspective.
No. For the York side, you can do summer courses.
So some York courses
yeah.
are offered in the summer,
if it's
Seneca is
real.
But does it fast track you, or just lessons low?
Lessons low. Yeah.
That's different. So for the way I did it, for my final year of the joint program, so in my fifth year, I only had one York course, and only my Seneca courses because I had done a bulk of it in the summer. It is a lot, guys, so if you are thinking of doing this program, try to strategize that way so you do have a little bit less of a load, if possible.
Kind of out of curiosity, have you had any like graduates or students who have gone internationally with this particular certificate, or do they just stay in Canada?
So when you graduate, you, like Martine was saying, you can become part of two professional governing bodies. So one of them is you can be a certified disability management professional, which is internationally recognized. So it really depends on which field you narrow down within rehab. But this field is growing, not only in North America, but across the world. This field is being recognized, it's growing. So there are a lot of opportunities. You know, it might mean you need to do a little bit more training or a little bit more education, but there are opportunities. You just have to figure out where you're headed and what you need to get to go there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How would you make a distinction between the rehab certificate and a DSW certificate?
Developmental services certificate. It's very different. The training is very different. The level of education is also different because this is a joint program, so the expectation is that you are also at a university level. You're getting a university level education, and what you focus on is different. DSW is mostly on developmental disability, whereas rehab focuses on physical, developmental, psychological, social, different types of disabilities.
It's not focused to any one population, this program. You can take it and apply it to whatever population you want to work with, which is very different because it gives you a meta view. It's an overview of the rehab process and how to facilitate it. That's specific to working with a population.
And I would also say that the DSW is more designed to equip frontline healthcare workers,
yes,
whereas this program can prepare you for frontline, but it's also heavy on theory, so it does provide, you know, also set you up for anything that requires sort of a cognitive level of thinking and structure and those type of work as well.
So when you say it allows you to then potentially also work in administration at kind of like higher level managerial.
Yeah, exactly.
So you kind of have a little bit more flexibility in terms of where you end up and what your trajectory might look like. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What are the more practical outcomes of the program, meaning like not like management or like paperwork or like working at the bank?
You're thinking more like frontline work.
Yeah.
So I think that's where you would be doing case management, potentially, or go ahead.
Yeah. So you'd be looking at opportunities at, for example, at day program centers, agencies that, different associations that cater to the needs of a specific group. For example, there's several agencies that work with adults, blind adults. Agencies that work with children and adults with autism, and I'm talking about working with them to develop hard skills, like regular life skills. So if you're not inclined, and we do have some students that even their placements that are more administrative in nature, they realize that the administrative side is not for them, so they really excel in working with the clients where it's developing those life skills. Does that answer your question?
I think so. You can't do like counseling and stuff, right? Like you'd have to do further studying for that.
So with regards to that, there is also a component of delivering either individual workshops or group workshops, and that will serve as the basis of developing the foundation for developing those counseling skills.
But I will comment that if you are interested, say for example you do this program, you gain some of those foundational skills, and then you realize, you know what, I really love counseling, I really love like directly working in mental health and so forth,
this could be a stepping stone for you to do additional training in order to, say, for example, get your master's in psychotherapy or in counseling psychology or whatnot. Again, those programs are extremely competitive and hard to get into. This could give you a competitive edge because you've already gained the experience and the foundational knowledge.
Can you do like movement therapy and all that kind of stuff? Like, would you ever be found in that kind of setting?
Like, what do you mean, like actual like?
Like dance therapy or
We actually have one agency that I've been talking with that they do music therapy. And I'm not sure if they have necessarily a dance component, but there are a lot of these day centers that do have a program within their within the structure of the organization that does an activity that's movement or dance related. So not necessarily, there isn't one that's dedicated to that, but you would find elements of that within different agencies.
Yes.
Do we also need a background check before we apply to this?
Not before you apply to the program, but before you do the placements, there's usually some requirements for background checks, criminal record checks, depending on, because you're working with vulnerable individuals.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. And some of the agencies will only take it if it's, well, actually, you're looking at every 6 months having it renewed and up to date. Some agencies want, if it's close to the end of your 6 months and you're starting, they actually want you to go out and do another one. So that is something that I believe that there might be an expense with it now. There used to, it used to be free of charge for volunteer placements, but it varies from police department to police department.
But that's standard across any profession that's working with vulnerable or children or elderly and so forth. So if you end up in the workforce, you're going to have to do that anyways.
Is the YSR program in contact with any agencies related to speech therapy?
There's one that I know of that was, I'm not sure if it was at the Bayview Center, that we've had students go there in the past. The unfortunate thing is that they don't, this year, the last 2 years, they've had a reduction in supervision for placements, students. So sometimes we're sort of at the mercy of what they're able to provide by HR on the agency end, and that'll determine whether or not. However, with that being said, if there's an agency out there that you know of that is not necessarily on our list right now, we can reach out to them. And you know, let them know that that you're seeking an opportunity, and then we create that relationship.
Just touch a little on that. Like a lot of my classmates as well. Like there is a booklet of placements that they can give you, but you can go out and find your own placements and be that contact person, that middle person to make that placement to be part of the booklet. So it's not just because there's a booklet you have to follow those placements. You can follow placements that are geared to what you want to do in the future. So you're not limited in regards to that aspect. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
So I'm a driver student. So I'm like half first year, half second year. A lot of our courses are second year. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the honors program, so would I apply this year or next year?
Do you have you have potential total altogether of 90 credits? Yeah. So I'm not sure where you're starting right now.
I'll double check.
Yeah. Yeah, we can check. You can come upstairs with me. I'll begin to check that. Okay.
So if you are applying this year, is there like a certain time to start applying, or like can
you? I would. So we have the deadlines here. March 20th is the deadline for the application file. I would get started as soon as possible. When you're preparing your written statements, it's good to kind of get started early. Get people to review it. Make sure you're really happy with it. And when you're reaching out to referees, it's always good to give them a heads up, because the more heads up you give them, the more likely they'll write you a stronger letter, right? If you email them and say, I need it by tomorrow, it might not happen. So I would start early. Yeah.
No, sorry, I meant like if I was applying like next year, like is there a certain time that, like after?
But not this year, meaning 2021. Okay.
Is there a certain time you should start applying for that? That you start accepting?
Very similar.
Yeah, so okay. Next year we'll have the same sort of session and the deadline will be around the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So we're applying at the end of our third year?
It depends on
whether you're in which program you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honors. You're in the honors program, you apply when you have the potential total of 90 credits.
Yeah. Potential, right? Like we don't still have to have completed those 90 credits.
No, so because the applications are due in March, you're still completing the credits,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, yeah, your potential total would be either by the ending of winter term or by the ending of summer term that you have those 90 credits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just wanted to continue on that. Mm-hmm. So, if I'm completing 60 credits by the end of summer,
mm-hmm.
I'll be done 60. Does that mean I'll have to take the full course load in?
And then apply next time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you said you're in the office, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'd be applying 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long is the written statement?
The written statement?
Like word-wise.
I don't remember.
The application package?
Oh,
yeah, it was a few pages. It wasn't super extensive, but you definitely have to reflect on it, and that's what takes most of your time, rather than actually writing it out.
Mm-hmm. So the instructions are on the website. You can go through, and it has all of the requirements.
Yeah.
Another question, did I see that?
Is this program ever stretched, or do you have to finish it in 5 years?
Well, it's actually over 2 years, right? Because you're taking your final year at York, and you're splitting it into two, right? And I know life happens, so for those students that have something happen to them, that they're unable to complete the program within the 2 year, we will accommodate them if we can, but generally we like everybody to finish the program within the 2 years, if possible. But you can't go into it thinking, oh, I don't want to do it in 2 years, I want to do it in 3. No, you've got to keep it within the 2.
Any other pressing questions? We will hang out here for a little bit. Anything else?
One more.
Sorry, I didn't
see
that.
So the YRS program is not exactly by credit. So what is the cost? Because I know it's just a few credits. It's around $700.
What is the I believe all of that will be covered if you're accepted in the program, and then at orientation early May.
We're going to.
Yeah, all of that, those questions will be answered. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.